chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, the baptism of the Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of God spoken for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a reading this morning by Nikita Gill. It's called Water. When they ask you why you love the rain, the ocean, the river, tell them it is because, unlike the people who should have loved you better, the water was never afraid to touch you, even when you are at your most damaged and broken. I love that image. The water was never afraid to touch you, even when you are at your most damaged and broken. You know, water is the source of all life. Our bodies are mostly made of water. The earth is mostly made of water. We need it to live. We drink it. It nourishes us, right? And when the earth was created, God separated the water from the heavens and from the earth. He separated the waters from the dry land. Water filters and cleans. Water nourishes more than just our body. It also nourishes our spirits. And today, we get to celebrate, we get to remember the baptism of Jesus. It's such a wonderful connection with the sermon that Bob gave last week when he asked a really important question. For those of you who are there, do you remember? His question was, are you plugged in? Are you plugged in to God's ever-flowing, unmerited grace? Bob explained that God's grace is abundant, and it's always present, just like electricity, or the cell towers for our new generation, right? We just need to plug into it. Well, baptism is just that. Baptism is the plug that gets you directly hooked into God's grace. So can you imagine on this day of Jesus' baptism what it could have possibly been like? All right, it started out as just another day down by the river. So you know, the word baptism itself in Greek means bath. That's what it is. It's taking a bath. Baptism was actually a purification ritual that many people practiced at the time. So if you know anything about the Hebrew culture, you know that it was very common for people to talk about being clean versus unclean. And you can get to be unclean in so many different ways, by diseases like leprosy, but also if you just had contact with blood or something that had died, you could be deemed unclean. And what that meant was you couldn't be a part of the family. You couldn't be a part of the community. You were excluded. And so it was very common to have a ritual cleansing, a way of going to be clean so you could return and participate in everyday life. It was also practiced by the Jewish community as a traditional act of purification. They used it. The priests used it, right? And they also used it as an initiation of converts to Judaism long before the coming of the Messiah. So baptism isn't something new with Jesus. In fact, it's just what everyday life was all about. And so before our text this morning, we find a whole story about what's happening down by the river, because we meet John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist is this wild guy who's wearing clothing made of camel's hair. He's eating locusts and wild honey out in the wilderness. And what we find is John is in the River Jordan baptizing people. He's saying the same message that Jesus comes to say. He's crying out, "Repent and be baptized. Repent and come be cleansed." So imagine the scene. John is standing in the river, and all along the banks are all different kinds of people who've come to be bathed in their ritual cleansing. In fact, even Sadducees and Pharisees, those who were known to be perfect law abiders, would come. And they'd stand on the banks and ask John to cleanse them, to baptize them. This ritual is very much a public act. I want you to know that this wasn't Jesus by himself. This was done in a community, in a ritual that was very, very normal, very much a part of the culture. So the question that we really should be asking ourselves is, so why did Jesus show up at the riverbank? Why did Jesus go to John and say, "Baptize me"? We know that Jesus is sinless. We know that Jesus is perfect in God's love. Why then is he standing at the riverbank asking to be baptized? I'd like to talk about three things this morning that are really important to understanding Jesus' baptism, because what it does is it informs our baptism. It tells us about our baptism as well. The first one, Jesus gets baptized out of a pure act of humility and solidarity. From his birth, Jesus identifies with the common people. He is a poor baby born in a stable. And though Jesus fulfills his messianic hopes, it's really the common people, the blind, the little children, the Canaanite woman, the crowds who hail him as Son of David. See, Jesus begins his ministry as all of his people do, a bath, a ritual, a cleansing that sets him right with the everyday people. See, he comes to the river to be with everyone, to be with his people, to say that I am with you. That's who Jesus is. He's sitting at the river with everyone else. And he's asking to do the same thing that everybody else does, in solidarity with the common people. That takes a lot of humility. But it sets the tone for his ministry. His beginnings are humble, born out of humility, and he emphasizes his solidarity with everyone. God is with you. The second point is Jesus plugs in. All right? Both John and Jesus preach the message of repentance. Repent, repent. And Jesus says, "Follow me." Well, how does one follow? By doing exactly what the leader does. Jesus begins his ministry with the very act to which he calls his disciples. He says, "Repent." Repentance is this: turning and facing God. That's what Jesus does. Jesus turns and says, "God, I am set on you. My eyes are here, and my life is focused on one thing only." And he does that in this moment. And how do we know? Because when he leaves his baptism, he is forced out into the wilderness where he battles evil. And do you know what he does? He defeats it. He defies this world and confirms his mission, which is God's vision alone. This is where we see that Jesus is completely plugged in. And he does it publicly, and he does it with John as witness to say, I have one focus, and it's you. That's baptism. Right? The third thing that happens is Jesus is anointed into ministry. His mission is blessed. So in the beginning of all creation, at the very moment, we find that there's a spirit hovering over the water. That's in the creation story. Well, this moment of baptism, as Jesus emerges from the water, the heavens are completely opened up and the Spirit of God descends. So think about it. Up until this moment, it's a normal day at the river. Everybody's sitting by the banks, hanging out, watching people get cleansed. But that's not what happens on this day. On this day, the heavens break open and the Spirit of God descends. And they hear the voice that says, my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Can you imagine that moment? Right? See, this is what happens. It's a new creation. No longer a separation between God and humanity. They're born together. That is broken open and we are now one. And God descends and Jesus becomes the living temple. What a glorious day that must have been. There is no separation between God and us through Jesus. And we hear in this moment that Jesus is blessed. His ministry and mission is blessed. The prophet Isaiah uses these exact words. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. Sounds a little bit like well pleased, right? I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Jesus receives his authority or mission as Messiah. Baptized. So we see these three things. We see a Jesus who is standing in solidarity with us. We see a Jesus who has set his vision on one thing only. He is righteous and set forth and justified and one with God. We see that he has been anointed for a mission. What is true for Jesus is true for us as well. In our baptism, I remember my baptism because I was an adult when I received it. But many people don't necessarily remember their baptism because they were baptized when they were infants or as babies. But this is the beauty of baptism. We live it again and again. So even if you don't know your baptism, you've seen baptisms. And not just seen it, but you've experienced it. See, baptism is everybody sitting by the river. Everybody gets to be a part of it. And that's a really important part that everybody understands, that whenever we celebrate baptism, like today when we celebrate Jesus' baptism, we're celebrating our own. We're celebrating everybody's baptism. And we're being renewed and recreated in that moment. So those three things are the same for us. We are born in solidarity as a new community when we renew our baptism. According to the practice of the United Methodist Church, baptisms are always conducted in community. I can remember when I had to get mine done as an adult. Nope, I had to do it in front of the whole church, right? That's part of the process. And it's just like going to the river. It's like hanging out on the banks. The whole church participates in the ritual, not just in celebrating the baptism, but actually in receiving this new person into Christ's family and vowing to walk with them in solidarity. Nobody does this alone. It's a journey. It's a journey where you need a community. And so that is what happens in your baptism. Baptism is this ongoing source of God's grace that renews our community every time it happens. And I want you to understand this too, that whenever we receive new members or we do a confirmation, we do the exact same thing that we do with baptism. It's the same thing. It's the same newness. It's the same acceptance and receival of people into our faith community. The second thing that happens when you get baptized is this is it. You are plugged into God's unmerited grace. God's grace is given to God's people in and through baptism. Through our confession and vows, we turn and we commit ourselves to Jesus right there. We repent. And in that moment, we are cleansed. We are justified, not by anything that we do, but just because God loves us. That's it. You're plugged in. You are born anew through faith alone. That is such an amazing blessing. See, when we turn our focus on God, we live in the freedom that God's grace is forever flowing. It's that current. And through Jesus, who redeems our sins on the cross, all we need to do is accept Christ in our hearts. God invites us to a fellowship with the risen Christ, who ensures us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Here the water washes over us. The Spirit of God is called upon. We are bathed in God's grace. And believe it or not, in that moment, the heavens open to you too. The heavens open. You are no longer separate from God, but God's Spirit lives and dwells in you. And the voice cries out, "Here is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." Picture that on yourself. Bathe yourself in that grace that happens. As Bob explained last week, you are plugged into God's grace. There is nothing you can do to stop that flow. And there is nothing more you need to do. Do you hear that? There's nothing you can do to stop God's grace. And there is nothing more you have to do. It is freely given. That's baptism. You're plugged in. When these heavens are broken open, when any of God's children are baptized, the Spirit of God descends and alights on us like a dove. And you know what? God celebrates the growing wholeness of a community of all his children. The church, the body of Christ, is participating in this beautiful moment of recreation. Itself broken open with this beloved child of God. I want you to think about that. Whenever we baptize somebody, whenever we receive new members, we become new ourselves. We have a whole new spirit, a person with gifts and graces that flow. We are no longer the same, and we should be asking ourselves, oh, what does this mean for us? How do we look different? We are born a new creation as well. Today, as we remember Jesus' baptism, we remember our own. Remember God's unmerited grace. that never ends. We also remember the responsibility that follows, because like Jesus, who was anointed in ministry, we too are. We are the source of divine love that flows. So you know how you have electrical cords, right? Extension cords, where you're plugged into God, somebody else plugs into you, right? Like, you are the divine grace that forever flows. You get tapped into, right? I know there's kind of a limit on how many you should, but I've seen people kind of overdo it, right? Like, how many people can tap in. That's why we need everybody, because you can get overtapped. But here's the thing. We're the instruments of divine love. We're commanded to love God and love our neighbor. We are the priesthood of all believers. So with God's grace comes this responsibility. Ministry is our highest calling, friends. As lay people, we are called to serve in the world in the midst of everyday living. We stand in solidarity with the people, with the everyday people. That's what we do. So baptism is just the beginning. It's the getting plugged in to God's grace. With the Holy Spirit living within you, your spirit is very much drinking the grace. So you understand the concept of live wire, right? Like, there's some people that know it really well, especially if you've accidentally touched a live wire and received a shock, right? Live wire. Well, God is a live wire all the time. Living grace is always flowing in, through, and around you. The problem is we can't always see it, right? There's special mechanisms you have that to test a wire to see if it's live. Well, we don't have that. We eventually learn to recognize and feel it and see it. But it's not easy all the time. That's why our church has traditions like baptism that help us remember, that provide us with a direct source of grace. It's like a shock. It's like a flash of lightning. The hairs on the back of your neck stand up. See, this is an outward sign of what's actually happening on the inside of us. All the time. We just can't see it. And that's why at the conclusion of a baptism, it's most appropriate to conclude with Holy Communion. So take a look. I want you to see this vision. Baptism, communion, they're one and the same. Baptism initiates us into the church. But the Lord's Supper, the church is sustained in the life of faith, nourished through Holy Communion week after week, time after time. It's a time to share the bread for the journey. See, God's grace flows through us. And these sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion, help us see it, remember it, and know it. It's the fuel that we need, the grace that we need to keep doing what we do in the world. When we come to communion, we again celebrate all that God has done, all that God is doing, and all that God will do. We remember the grace given to us in baptism, and we eat and drink of the spiritual food that is necessary to sustain and fulfill the promises of salvation. So today, in remembrance of Jesus' baptism, in remembrance of our baptism, it is right to conclude with Holy Communion, the sacred meal, the sacred bath, the sacred meal. These are outward signs of the inward grace that we can't always see. But we can taste and know that God is good. We hold these two sacraments together in one sacred moment to plug into God's grace. As we finish our conversation on baptism, I'd like to extend two invitations. First of all, I want to ask, are you plugged in? Are you connected with God's source of grace? One of the most important ways to do that is by joining a faith community, belonging to a church. We're going to be hosting new membership classes, confirmation classes at the end of January. Everyone is invited to join us in that journey. If you are interested in joining Calvary, please let me know. The second thing that I'd like is I want us to remember our baptism this morning. So as you come up to receive Holy Communion, you are invited to take a moment and just dip your fingers into the water and remember your baptism. Think about Jesus' baptism, how the heavens are breaking open. Repent. Tell Jesus that you love him. Use this moment to share as one. In this moment, where baptism and communion are one. We give praise and thanks to Jesus Christ for instituting these two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, such that we may forever be nourished by God's grace and one in mission to the world as the body of Christ. Amen. Friends, we're going to take this time now to do our prayers of the people. Let us pray for the church and the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for healing, for wisdom, and for hearts of compassion as the United Methodist Church prepares for General Conference. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We seek your divine grace and peace with Iran. We pray for Haiti, which today remembers its 10-year anniversary of its earthquake, and simultaneously pray for Puerto Rico as it heals and is restored following its recent earthquake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray for Australia as it battles the raging bushfires in its land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours and grant that we may serve Christ and them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, we offer you these prayers, whether shared in the silence of our hearts or spoken boldly into the universe. This morning, we lift our hearts up to Charles, Nance, Wanda, Nellie, Jan, Anna, Forrest, Sue, Lindsay, Michelle, Jennifer, Brianna, to Lola, and Jen, and Bonnie. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We pray this day for the family of Sharon King, your faithful servant and friend of Calvary, who fought the long, hard battle against cancer. We pray for the friends and families of Sam, John, Dave, Jim, Jay, and John, and for everyone on the Ukrainian flight who perished. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And just take a moment here in a silent prayer of any confession that you may yourself feel need.